I specifically asked for this passage to come from the King James Version, because it very clearly specifies flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I'd like to look today at the Lord's Prayer, following on from what Louise has been doing. But I'd also like to rock back into the Psalms, just as an aside, to the 23rd Psalm. And I'll tell you a story about it. Some years ago, back in the 80s, I met a Belgian man who, when he was 18, was in the Italian resistance. And as an 18-year-old, on his first night out in the foxhole, he was terrified. He was scared. And being Italian, he'd come from a Catholic background. And his mother had also always told him if he was scared or frightened to pray. And he didn't know how to pray. He just didn't know how to pray. But all he could remember was the 23rd Psalm. So he started saying it over and over again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be afraid. Over and over again. And it didn't change the fear that he had. And he started wondering. In his fear, he was wondering, why wasn't this changing him? And he had a sudden revelation. It wasn't changing him because the Lord was not his shepherd. And he came to know Jesus through that. And thereafter, he made a point of praying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fear. And if you go through that 23rd Psalm and preface every verse by, because the Lord is my shepherd, it will change the meaning of that psalm to you and will make it personal. That's just a little side issue I wanted to give you. But if we look at the Lord's Prayer, which in Salvation Army, as I understand, we don't hear a lot of. Yeah? Oh, I haven't heard it a lot here. I very rarely heard it in the Baptist Church. Very rarely heard in Churches of Christ. Regularly in Catholic and Anglican churches. And Presbyterian. Good. Good. The liturgical churches seem to concentrate on it very well. Excuse me. Let's just go through it. Our Father, who art in heaven. And little children learning this have great difficulty. Otik told me of a version. Our Father who does art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The children just can't follow it. And yet, look at it. Our Father. What is a father? A father, in the natural sense, gives us life. And our God, our Father, gives us life. Who art in heaven. I just have to send this back where it came from. Oh, accident on the way. Okay, well, it's rolling. Our Father in heaven, away from the turmoil, and yet able to totally understand and be part of our lives in the midst of turmoil. We as grandparents, those of us who are grandparents, are away from the turmoil of life of our grandchildren with their parents. But we can understand and we can show love. And our Father in heaven shows us love. Hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. Above all is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done . But we just read that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So, what is your kingdom come? What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is what drives us in our existence. It is something that is beyond life. And actually, it's the same sort of thing that drives the terrorists. They are striving for a caliphate here on earth, but for a kingdom of Allah. They are striving for it. And they are bringing it about by force, not love. But they recognize that that kingdom is not a flesh and blood kingdom, the kingdom of Allah. No, the kingdom of God is not flesh and blood. The kingdom of God is for our souls. We talk about salvation. It's our souls that are saved, not our bodies. We will shed these bodies. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, so shall we be raised in new bodies. But our souls can inherit the kingdom of God. And that is why Jesus died, that we may inherit that kingdom. The soul is eternal. It lives on. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have a responsibility to that kingdom, to share the love and the joy and the citizenship of that kingdom. We're in a world that is full of sadness, anxiety, angst, depression. I was talking to the pharmacist here on Saturday morning, and he is very, very concerned about the number of prescriptions that he has to dispense for depression. he believes that there are too many prescriptions issued for depression. He said, life is tough, deal with it. Well, in the kingdom of heaven, life is perfect. But it's the life of the soul. And it filters through into our natural lives because the soul dwells within the body. And the soul, if the soul is sick, the body can be sick. If the soul is well, the body can also be well. The state of our souls influences the way we look at a situation. Whether we see the glass half full or half empty. Or some of us will see the glass as being twice the size it needs to be. But that depends on the state of our soul, our mind, will and emotion. Grant us this day our daily bread. Bear in mind that Jesus said this in a time when there were no refrigerators or appliances to store goods. Your bread was made every day. Now we'll buy bread and put it in the freezer. But give us today our daily bread. We look to God to provide our needs each day. Be it physical, be it financial, be it emotional. Our sustenance. Give us today that which we need. It's an act of surrender to God, saying, you are our source, you are our provider, we trust you. Of course, there's the case where God expects us to do our part as well. I remember a story of a man who was caught in a flood. And I think there was a boat came along, SES or something came along to rescue him. And he said, no, God's going to rescue me. And someone else came along and offered him help. No, God's going to rescue me. He was swept away and drowned. And he said to God, why didn't you rescue me? God said, I sent two boats. Or something like that, yeah. Yeah. God expects us to do our part. But he does his part. And he expects us to trust him. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I was listening to TV this morning on Channel 7 and they had a doctor there who was saying they have discovered that forgiveness is good for the heart. To forgive improves the health of your heart. You know, we forget the part that follows on after the Lord's Prayer that says, for if you do not forgive your brother who sins against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Ooh, that hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes it's very hard to forgive. Sometimes it's almost impossible. And we have to step out of ourselves and say, God, I can't do it. Help me in my weakness. And he will. I was pastoring a church back in the 80s. And my elders had a meeting without me. I'd given a prophetic word. They had a meeting without me and had this prophetic word checked out. They came to me and said, "This word is not of God. Renounce it or resign." Now, I was sure that it was of God, because before giving it, I had actually run it by men of great experience in the Lord whom I trusted. So I resigned. I won't go over what happened to those who were left. It wasn't pretty. 2 years later, one of those elders, who was a man that I'd led to the Lord, I'd known him for 15 years. I baptized him and his wife. He came to me and said, "Steve, we were wrong. Can you forgive me?" And I just said, "John, there's nothing to forgive." Because there was nothing to forgive. I just surrendered it to God. I wasn't carrying any load on it. See, if we don't forgive, we're carrying the burden ourselves. And we're not designed to carry those sort of burdens. Lead us not into temptation. God doesn't lead us into temptation. But we can be led into temptation by our own sinful nature. When we pray that, we're asking God, once again, in surrender, we're surrendering that sinful nature to God. And saying, "Don't let us be led into temptation. Deliver us from that which is evil. For yours is the kingdom forever and ever." Amen. We all know that Lord's Prayer, don't we? How often do we pray it and mean it? Or do we just say it glibly?